this calmness.
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2:6. I was just going to show you this one thing back to Paul's question. You see in verse...
That's from Promise, Jordan. Promise's question.
Oh, I thought it was from...
Is Promise on?
Yes, I'm on.
Was that from you, Promise?
So we're going to deal with that question, okay?
Well, I didn't know that. Was that from you, Promise? I'm sorry.
Look at verse 6 in 2 Thessalonians 2. Promise, why don't you read it?
2 Thessalonians
2, verse number 6.
Okay, let me open my Bible here. All right. Verse 6.
Yeah, verse 6.
And it reads, "And now we know him, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time."
Okay, you see how it says, "You know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." That takes you back to verse 3, doesn't it?
All right.
What does it say in verse 3?
"Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away face, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition."
Yeah, you see, the falling away, the departing, that word apostasia, there's a whole study on that on the website, simply departing first. What's the departing? The context tells you in verse 1, doesn't it?
Right.
Who's departing? Us. We're being gathered together unto him. That's how we open the encouragement up. All right? Now,
right.
So we know that as long as we're here, this man of sin can't be revealed, right?
Right.
And so he's reiterating that in verse 6, isn't he?
All right.
Okay? Because his time in verse 6 is not our time. That's why it says his time, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, we won't know who that individual is, and thankfully, we won't. Okay?
That's a good hint there.
Yeah. And not only that, the strong indication there is that concerning his time, he won't be around until after we're gone.
Oh.
I don't even believe he's going to be born until after we're done.
Things are bad enough right now without him.
Yeah. Could come again.
A lot worse with him, for sure.
Come again?
I say that, and that expression where it says him being revealed in his time, I don't believe that his time is even associated. In fact, his being here is after we're gone. I don't even believe he's on this earth. He's not on this earth until after we're gone.
That could raise questions, because my thinking is the time after the rapture has happened to his revealing is so short. So it would mean
No. There's an indication that there's going to be years involved. And Daniel chapter 7, we're talking about years. Okay? Look at Daniel chapter 7. And look at verse 24.
Can you show us on the website, Jordan?
Okay, you want me to... I might as well show the Bible on the site. All right.
Well, not the Bible, that chart.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You said Daniel 7:25.
Daniel 7:24. I'm going to bring up this chart that Skip was talking about. Daniel 70, not that. All right, here's that chart, right? That's Daniel's last week, right? Oh. That whole week has nothing to do, so that whole week is after we're gone. We know that, okay? But what I wanted to show you in Daniel chapter 7, not Daniel chapter 9, okay? But that 70th week is Daniel chapter 9, all right? I'm talking about Daniel chapter 7, all right? Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, what does it say?
Okay. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be divided from the face, and he shall subdue 3 kings.
Okay. These 10 kings, okay, who comes first, the 10 kings or the little horn?
The 10.
Right. Those 10 kings have to be there before this guy even shows up, okay? Do we know who those 10 kings are right now? Absolutely not. We have no idea who they are, right?
All right.
But it's going to have to take time for that to happen, isn't it? Now, I told you that in Daniel chapter 11, get Daniel chapter 11 in one hand and Revelation chapter 17 in the other. All right? Daniel chapter 11. Starting in verse 4 and 5 there. And now, on the other hand, in fact, what I'm going to do is, we don't need this really here. I'm going to put the Bible myself on the screen, all right? Because I want you to, therefore, I'll save you guys flipping time, all right? All right, let me go back here. And put the scripture. Alright. Everybody see the Bible?
Yep.
Alright. Now, I'm going to put Daniel chapter 11. Verses 4 and 5. Put that there. And I'm also going to put, before we get to Revelation 17, I'm going to put Daniel chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Now, you see, if you look at verses 4 and 5 in chapter 11, and verses 8 and 9 in Daniel chapter 8, it's talking about that same time break, okay? So somebody read verses 4 and 5 on the left.
And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those.
Right. And then he talks about the king of the south, and there's a whole bunch of kings after that, right? Now, that's talking about Alexander the Great, is it not?
Presumably.
Well, his kingdom was divided among his four generals, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. In Daniel chapter 8, you see that the same thing in verse 8. What am I doing in Genesis? Daniel chapter 8. Hold on a second. Okay. Now, you see that we're talking about the goat in verse 8, right? Read verses 8 and 9, Eric, on the right.
Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land.
Tribulation, isn't it? Okay? So there's a break between verses 8 and 9, isn't there?
What chapter are you in? It's not showing that on the screen.
I'm in chapter 8, in Daniel 8.
Okay.
Verses 8 and 9.
Right.
In verse 8, now you know that the goat in verse 8 is Greece, according to verse 21, right?
Right.
Verse 21, the rough goat is the king of Greece. The great horn is between his eyes is the first king of Greece. Alexander was the first one to unite the Greek provinces. Okay? He's the first king. All right? He had four generals, according to verse 8, four notable ones. And then out of one of his four divisions of his empire comes forth this little horn in verse 9, right? And that little horn is the Antichrist, according to verse 11 and verse 12. You're in the tribulation there. It's the same guys being spoken of from verse 9 on down. Okay? So between verse 8 and verse 9, thousands of years have elapsed, right?
Right.
Correct? You have that same break in chapter 11 between verses 4 and 5. You have the same guy with his four... The kingdom is four winds, four divisions of his kingdom. And then from verse 5 down through verse 20 is a succession, is a series of six kings. Now, why is that important between verses 5 and 20? Because of Revelation 17. Okay? Revelation 17... talking about the harlot, right? What does it say in verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 17? Eric, go ahead and read that on the right.
And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
Yeah, in the Old Testament, mountains are often spoken of as kingdom, okay?
Right.
And here, you see that these seven mountains are seven kings, all right? If five are fallen. So that means that one is at the point of time of this vision. This is tribulation time frame here, okay? Five have fallen, and the seven kings are all in the tribulation period. Five are fallen at this point of the vision. The sixth one is there. And if you read Daniel 11 from verses 5 down to verse 20, you can count them. There are six kings. All right? Through verse 21, the sixth king is the vile one, the Antichrist, in verse 21. There are six kings. There are four kings of the north and two kings of the south. There are six kings in there. That's what we're talking about here in Revelation 17. Five of them are dead at this point, and the sixth one is reigning. Okay? And when he gets killed, for that short space of 3.5 days when he's in the ground, and when he gets raised, he's the eighth one, okay? The Antichrist resurrected, okay? And then you have the beast. And that's what you see in Revelation 17. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was what? He shall ascend. He's not. That means he's not right now. In other words, at the point of this vision, he's dead. Okay? Okay? And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, going to perdition. And then it says what? In verse 11, it says, the beast that was and is not, in other words, he's dead right now. He was reigning, he's dead. Even he's the eighth. He's of the seven. He's not of the seventh, but he's of the seven. He's number six. He gets killed. He's been in the ground for 3.5 days. The 17 last 3.5 days. And when that guy gets resurrected, he's the eight. He's counted twice. Okay? That all maps out to Daniel 5, Daniel 11, verses 5 through 21. You have the five kings, the sixth king being the Antichrist in verse 21. Okay? In other words, what's happening? After the rapture, these five kings have to show up and be killed. That's going to take time, isn't it? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's why in Daniel 7 and Daniel 11, you're talking many times it says years, years, years. Look at the number of the occurrences of the term years between verses 5 and 20. It's years. See, it's not the rapture happens and immediately this guy shows up. Can't. Five kings have to show up after we're gone and then the sixth king comes.
We can see in verse 20 that he's a Democrat, so America must still be here.
I'll leave that to you, Frank. But the thing is,
taxes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. But you see that there is going to be, if you compare Daniel 11 and Revelation 17, there's a significant time gap between the rapture and the opening of the trib. Okay. They are years apart for all this stuff to happen in Daniel 11.
Hello?
Daniel 11, 5 through 21 is the Antichrist after the church is gone. Okay?
Yeah. So it could be, in this sense, it's even a time that could bring about a fully grown man.
Yes, could bring about a fully grown man, correct.
As the world would be so much deceived, I can see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, think about what's happening here. When the rapture happens, it's going to be a traumatic event, okay? Everything is going to be thrown into chaos, okay? It's going to take years for people to get out of it, okay? And there's going to be a total realignment of powers. The nations that you see today, that map is not going to look anything like that after the rapture. Okay? So forget about even trying to look at it. The only constant you know is that Israel and her enemies in that Mediterranean area are all going to be there. But everyone else, don't look at it. Because the whole thing's going to change. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think if it was that soon, then I think maybe a lot of people could have come to understand that, well, I think this is the way to go. But then that it takes another time, then that would be an opportunity whereby even other people get deceived, others.
Absolutely.
This gets thrown away.
Absolutely. Let me give you a time reference here. And I'm just, this is speculation. I'm not saying that this is okay. But didn't men live before the flood like 10 times longer than they live now?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. All right. Now, how many years was it between Enoch's rapture and the flood? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. If you look at like verse, let's see where it was, verse 22. Enoch lived, we got 300 years after he begot Methuselah. He begot Methuselah when he was 365 years old. Or he was raptured when he was 365, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, right. You take away 300 years from the 969, right? and also 65. So we're really talking about if you take 365 away from 969, because from Methuselah's birth and Enoch's rapture at age 365. So if you take 969 minus 365, it's 604 years between Enoch's rapture and the flood, right?
Okay.
If you divide that by 10, how many years do you get?
60.4.
Yeah, that's 60 years, right?
Yeah.
That seems a reasonable time frame than Daniel 11, doesn't it? In terms of all those kings coming up and, you know, being succeeding each other. I mean, I'm just telling you that that's going to be the case, okay? There's going to be a significant number of years, just like it was between, you know, on the same scale that it was from Enoch's rapture to the flood, you're going to have that kind of, in our time scale, in our dimensions, about the same. It's going to be a lapse of years.
Well, that gives us a good perspective for your argument.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, I just you know, but you know, you put all these things together. That's why the details are important, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, when these files come up, I always think of the ways to say whatever was and shall be again.
Well, there you got it, right?
It makes you more what?
Makes it more scary for the people that are left after.
Oh.
Yeah, and also for us, because the people that you're witnessing to now.
Okay. Where can I find the meaning of the Hebrew name Methuselah in this instance when the saint is young? When he's still
young. Yeah, I got that. Let me see where I got that from.
That was my question too for you, Jordan. I went to the concordance and they had another root for the name. And then I wanted to ask you while you're looking it up. I saw the suffix is Selah. Normally some of the Psalms or Proverbs end with Selah.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that the divine titles like El Shaddai, you know, the El being God that gets something about his attribute.
No, I understood that, and I thought Methuselah was a little different, and I thought the Selah, you know, was more peaceful, more calming, more Psalms like Selah.
No, I can see what you're saying there, yeah. No, like Selah is almost like an amen. Okay.
Exactly.
Like, let it be so. Let me get I think I did a Google search on that.
Yeah, because the concordance had a different. The concordance says man of the dart, D-A-R-T. And I didn't know what dart was. Maybe the antediluvian patriarch is also using it. I had the same question, Abel.
I think it'd be strange the names from Seth to Enoch together, but tells a whole little story.
It does. From Enoch, right? If you string Adam's names from Adam to Noah, you get the whole gospel, basically. If you look at Abarim, ABARIM - publication.com. gives me the name Methuselah. And it actually has two meanings. When he is dead, it shall be sand, or it means man of a javelin. In other words, like
man of a dark.
Man
of the dark.
Yeah, man of the dark. Right. But that website has the actual meaning there. It shows you the Hebrew letters and everything.
Did you get that, Apple?
Novel there?
Yeah.
Did you get the name of the website?
I believe, right?
Let me spell it out for you, all right? ABARIMPUBS.com. So it says ABARIMPUBLICATIONS.com.
Got it.
And that's what you can see there. Alright. So, anything else?
No, that was great.
Jordan, what's his name? Frank, if I had to say that.
Yeah, I'll do that.